Welcome to Church Unusual, Matthew chapter 16. And I really want to get to the point real quick without messing around at all. You know, Jesus started asking, who do men say that I am? And they started saying all these different names. And Jesus said, but who you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered. This is what I'm saying, Simon Peter. The word Peter means rock, right? Answered and said, Petros, a rock. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not been revealed unto thee, but my Father which is heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Heard of this? And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again on the third day, sharing the secret with them. It's church. He described to them what church looks like, what the church that he was building was going to be built upon. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be. Now, it's the same Peter that said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. It's the same Peter now. It might be seconds or minutes later. It's the same Peter, the same rock. And he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. This is how our church was built. This is how the modern day church was built. It was founded upon, you know, Peter was one of the main apostles at the time to actually build the church after Jesus. You'll see him and Paul get into it in Galatians chapter 2 because Peter wasn't doing everything like Paul learned Jesus did. Watch me. But this is what I heard just now. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He thought, well, Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And I realized that he built the church has been built upon Peter, but he didn't say he was finished on Peter. Because Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's really talking about him being the rock. The difference between the two rocks, I heard this. I'm going to say it, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I heard this, all rocks aren't created equal. All rocks aren't the same. You got different types of graphite and different types of iron and different types of metal that have come out of rocks, but all of them aren't built the same way. So all of them don't have the same, some of them are stronger, like you have a cubic zirconium and a diamond. These are still rocks now, right? But the diamond can cut glass and the cubic zirconium can't. Right? But they're still rocks because all rocks aren't created equal. So just because he says, upon this rock, I'll build my church, right? Peter has an opportunity right there to realize what he really said with the revelation of Jesus and realize it was who he was and function in that all the way. But because Peter still was savoring the things that be of men and not of God, it contaminated the strength of his rock. It contaminated. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's trying to make us the rock like him. But if we decide to be another way, we become another weaker kind of rock. And then now Jesus has to build upon a weaker type of foundation. And so now the reason that church is quote unquote usual now is because it was built. And Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knew he was going to have to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan. He knew exactly what was going on. And then Peter still didn't learn his lesson because in chapter 17, he takes him to the transfiguration where Moses and Elijah, Jesus literally turns in the light in front of him. And Peter, instead of learning what he's supposed to learn, he sits and says, oh, he starts talking. You're not supposed to talk right now, son. He starts talking, says, oh, this is great that we be here. Let's build a tabernacle, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. And then God has to come out of the sky. Jesus don't even acknowledge him. God come out of the sky. He starts talking, he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. In other words, shut up. You keep coming up with your ways of how you want to do things. Ain't it funny that the first thing, when light shows up and revelation shows up, the first thing he wants to do is build a building? He wants to build three tabernacles? This literally shows the structuring. And I know people don't want to talk about this. Oh, I don't care about that. I've seen men over and over in the Bible. David did it. Solomon did it. Solomon cried the last book of the Bible. He lamentates. He crying the whole time because although he's the wisest that ever lived before Jesus, he still allows himself to get caught up with a bunch of strange women. And then now everything is vanity and vexation. Abraham, the father of faith, who was the father of faith, still was laughing and still was doubting God. We still call him the father of faith. right? Moses. Somebody tried to give me an example. Moses talking about Moses and Joshua the other day. And Joshua this, Moses that. They're not a good example because Moses didn't go into the promised land. He didn't get in. Moses didn't get into the promised land. He didn't get in because he didn't follow instructions. I'm tired of people giving me examples about we need to be like Moses and Joshua. No, we don't. He didn't get in. So Apostle Peter don't get no pass. I'm trying to build it up on this rock, which is the rock is really the revelation of who I am. And you are that rock, but if you decide to be contaminated with man's ways, then you become a weaker rock, which now you make me build a building on something that's weaker. And now eventually I'm going to have to tear it down and build it all over. Because you decided to savor the things that be of men and not of God. And I'm not personally talking to you students, but I'm talking about the microcosm of mankind and how we've savored the things that be of men more than we savor the things that be of God. So now over in Galatians, like I said, Paul he confronts Peter about acting funny with the Gentiles, acting funny when certain Pharisees come around, acting funny with the people that Jesus was sitting with. He said, you know what, don't worry about it. Right hand of fellowship. Come on. You know what? You're gonna be an apostle to the Jews because you can't handle it out here in these streets. You're gonna go talk to them, and I'm gonna be a one to the Gentiles. Because I understand. You know, I remember Paul was the one killing Christians. He said, I'm gonna be the one to the Gentiles because I understand what Jesus' intention was, and I see that I want to do things the way that he wanted to be done. And so now there's a contamination that ended up getting in the church overall. And now we begin to do certain things. Now the church has become a bless me club. It's become I come to church because I come to get my blessing. I come to church because I want to be used me, Lord. Like it's all about me. I come because I want to work. And all these different things that we're coming up with, and we're missing the oneness with God, which is the rock, which is Jesus, the revelation of the Christ. We don't even catch it. I just did my Living by the Book class, and I walked people through how if you don't see Jesus, and none of it comes together. In the beginning, God didn't create all this stuff we're doing. In the beginning, God didn't create no buildings. In the beginning, God made a skyscraper. No, he didn't. In the beginning, he didn't make any of that. These were all things that we had to make because of our fallen nature. We begin to create fixes for our fall and then called it faith. And then called it society, and then called it the truth. When in actuality, Jesus comes back to show us what the truth looks like in the flesh. What the church looks like in the flesh. What the actual church really is, who the church is. It's not this building, it's not a bunch of, it's built, my body is a temple. Why would we say statements like, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you? Why would we say statements like, greater is he that is in you? Why would Jesus say the kingdom of God is within you? It is not things, Jesus said, tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He wasn't talking about the building, but we're so busy talking about buildings, we got caught up in the Roman Catholic Christianity and Roman Catholic Christianity that we so talk about buildings and mass and all these different rituals, all these different things, and we don't even realize that it's a live being on the inside of us. All rocks aren't created equal. So just because you're a rock might mean you could be limestone. Ain't nobody build nothing off of no limestone. Limestone are little rocks they use when they pour in the concrete, but they put them down to be pavement for when you're first building a building or something. You don't want to put concrete down. It'll limestone, a little weak rock. They crush it, crush like powder. You could be limestone. You could be any other weak rock. You could be a pebble around here because you don't allow yourself to be one with the rock, which is the chief cornerstone and the corner of the church, the corner of the building, which is Jesus the Christ. And so now I don't have to go into deep dissertation about what's going on. This is the reason. We savor things that be of men, and we savor things that be of God. And so we've taken outside influences, we've taken the American dream and brought it in and said in the name of Jesus. We've taken outside influences and steps and rituals and ways and methods and church growth and all these different things, and we brought it in here, and it has contaminated the rock. And this is why we have ritual and religion and rotations of the same junk over and over again without a true response from heaven. Then we got to get super deep now. Now we got to get super deep and try to fix the lack of it. And we get super deep, and now we go over. Brother Hagin said this. He said, "To every 1 mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditches. On that side, on that side. So every time you're on the road riding right, if you don't pay attention and don't focus on where you're going and don't pay attention to the way, Jesus says, I am the way." He didn't say the word is the way. He didn't say the church is the way. He said, I am the way. In John 15, he says, he that abideth in me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. He didn't say if you abide in my, no, he said you abide in me. He's trying to make it a person. The church is a live living organism. But if you're on the road, remember now, to every 1 mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditches. But if you're on the road and you don't pay attention to the way, keep your eyes on the way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If I don't keep my eyes on the way, then I will veer off into the ditch. And I done got over spiritual, ain't nothing going on. I done got under spiritual, ain't nothing going on. When I can't be over or under, the Spirit of God is on the inside of me. The Spirit, the word Spirit means breath. It means breathing. Go look it up. The Hebrew word for it is a breathing. It's a breath. It's a wind. The Spirit of God is on the inside of God. Breathe in the man, and man became a living soul. It's the truth about who the church is, but this is his discrepancy. So we said, well, how do we make church unusual? Well, we should have never had to call the church usual or unusual. It should have never even been a conversation. But because it is, now we have to find the root cause of the problems. It's almost like we used to go to the doctor. And the doctor, it's like the doctor gives you medicine before he finds the root cause. No, you have to change the root. The medicine will only manage what it is. And sometimes it tears you down more because of side effects. But you have to find, you have to go to the root of the thing. What is it that you're eating that make your body act like that? What is it that you're doing or not doing that makes your body function out of order? What is it that the church is consuming or putting out or partaking of the most that God has got it acting out of sorts, like out of the way it's supposed to be acting? Then when we get to the root of it, the root of it says, for thou savorest the things. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You say, well, Montreal, how do I tell the difference? How do I tell the difference between what's of God and what's of men? God used, what about men of God, right? How do I tell the difference? You tell the difference. The way that you tell the difference is through Jesus. Jesus is the litmus test. He's the discerner, the red eyes, the red words. And you find out. A lot of times you don't hear a lot of preaching about the red words because they're too challenging. Because they deny yourself. Deny your vision board and your plan and your mission for the world. Deny yourself. Lose your life. Oh, my life is about the Lord. Lose your life. Right? And it becomes too challenging, and it becomes too aggressive, and it's asking too much of us to the point that we'd rather savor the thing. I'm going to go back to be a member of the church. That's a little easy, because if I be a member of the church, then I can kind of, you know, do my thing and be holy. I could do my thing and make it to heaven. And I'm not quite so sure about that. Because Jesus said, going to be many say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did this. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Savoring the things that be of men and not of God. So we have to slow down. We have to look around. We have to not be afraid to be, listen, this phrase I'm hearing. not Christian, but Christ. Watch this. We cannot be afraid to be Christ critical. To make a Christ critique on our lives. To make a Christ critique on our situation. And we're so afraid because we got powers, and now church is really driven more by fear than anything. And you're going to get put out of the church, or you're going to get reprimanded, or you're going to get whatever. No, we cannot be afraid to make a Christ critique. Not a Christian critique, because a Christian critique, it could end up being anything. But a Christ critique. That means when I see something in Christ, and I see something as Christ, and I see Christ and I look at me. See Christ, look at me. I see Christ and I look at the church. I see Christ and I see how to function. I look at Christ and I see it, and I say, hold up, that ain't it. We got to make a Christ critique. And then a Christ critique goes to a Christ change. We cannot be afraid to do those things. We've already been sheep long enough just running behind whoever going wherever. And whoever the most popular, whoever got the little word that makes me feel emotional, or whoever says this is the way that life is supposed to go, or whoever says this is how you manage, we done done it in school for our whole lives. Stop, stop, stop. We've got to stand up and make a Christ critique. What is wrong with the church as a whole today is that there are not enough Christ critiques. And the reason there's not enough Christ critiques, because people don't know Christ. They know Christianity better than they know Christ. They know churchianity better than they know Christ, saving the things. Christians is not even a Christ term. Christians, men, you know what a term Christians, there were people outside of the church that were calling the people in the church Christians. They got their identity from people outside. How do you get your identity from outside? That statement makes no sense. That I got my identity from an outside source. They didn't come and have a meeting and say, you know what, you know, we're gonna start our new church and we're gonna call ourselves Christians. No, the people outside were calling them Christians because they were trying to put them. It's like Galatians and Ephesians, and I'm not talking about the book. I'm talking about the people. Ephesians were the people from Ephesus. Or the Galatians were the people from Galatia. And they called them that. They dare not call them Christ. Because they didn't see the same thing. They didn't see the same results. They would have said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why can't nobody tell you that, thou art the Christ? Why does that rub you wrong when I say that to you right now? Why does that scratch you wrong? Because you think you're not worthy enough, you're not holy enough. You don't think that's, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, daughter of the living God. Yeah. But that should be the function. But because we're not functioning that, we become a gathering of believers. The believers, right? And it's like, the believers of what? I'm a believer. I hear people say, I'm a man of faith. What are you talking about? This doesn't make any sense, right? Who are you? I ain't even talking about you. Who are you? Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And I think that's the question that people are asking the church. Now it's 2022, and I think there's they can say all this stuff, but some people that's not interested anymore because the church has no identity. It's already, it's got an identity, and its identity is watered down. And they're literally saying, Jesus I know and Paul I know, I respect them, but who are you? I respect them, but I don't respect your organization. And now it's gotten to the point, man, and I know it's one of my life burdens, is people don't understand that Jesus is telling them all the things that they've ever dreamed of and the best versions of themselves. But we can't get it because we're saving the things that be of men. We're putting our prayers on our wants. Every prayer we got is something that we want. Every prayer that we got is something we want to happen. Every prayer we got, and nobody's rather praying. I want y'all to learn. We rather pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I want it, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So until we stop saving the things that be of men and start saving the things that be, the things that be of God, the things that are alive of God, the things that be of men, the things that men have made alive, the things that, save the things that be of God, alive of God. Jesus is alive of God. Jesus, Christ is alive of God. Christ is alive of God in you. And this is when church will change, when we change. I like that. Mark that down, a Christ critique. Amen.